Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and shekel great, and practice deceit and false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweeping of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Word of God, word of life. We'll read the psalm responsively. Hallelujah. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations. God's glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high?
But stoops to behold the heavens and the earth.
The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes,
enthroning them with the rulers of the people.
The Lord makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. A reading from 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Amy Jill Levine calls parables pearls of Jewish wisdom. She reminds all who hear them that they are stories spoken to a Jewish people by a Jewish rabbi. They are intended to teach. She raises the reality that parables are also elusive. Perhaps finding meaning in them compares somewhat to, well, nailing jello to the wall. It gets messy. And yet, with that, the more anyone decides that they have the definitive understanding of a parable, well, the more other questions start to arise. Parables, in this sense, offer a window into the power of a disturbing story. Bible study groups for literally millennia have approached the various parables, and particularly today's parable, and tried to make sense of it. What does one do with this parable that is directed to Jesus' disciples? Let's remember that Jesus has just before this been speaking with the larger community, and particularly with those who were grumbling about the fact that Jesus was sharing table fellowship with sinners. And in that context, Jesus tells the story of the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost sons. And now Jesus turns towards the disciples and offers up a challenge question. And the challenge question comes in another parable. Levine continues as she writes, Jesus tells us of a dishonest manager who makes others complicit in his crimes and does so in such a way that his former employer can only commend him for his shrewdness. As disturbing as this parable is, how many have recognized the invitation to complicity that is embedded in the dishonest manager's actions? Or who, sitting down with this manager, would recognize that they have been, well, invited into complicity in the crimes as the windfall of settling accounts takes place? Disturbing stories and their power raise a whole lot of questions. Disturbing stories unsettle us. They raise those same questions that are embedded inside other questions over and over again. And each time people begin to settle on a response, a new insight comes to the fore. Disturbing stories provoke us. The letter to the Hebrews says, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. I wonder how these parables could do that. Perhaps the provoking challenges all here to go beyond the simple, the easy, the pedestrian answer. Maybe these stories provoke the hearer in the same kind of manner as one who comes along and pokes people in the eye with a stick. And there, instead of deeds of love and good, the response is first anger. And that suggests maybe it's time to sit down for a bit, to breathe for a moment. Disturbing stories can also lead to conversation. Everybody in the conversation has their own lived experience. Each one has a particular point of view. So many people have so many different questions, and so many others can speculate about their very different answers. Answers beget more questions, beget more answers. What happens when people avoid the conversation altogether? What happens especially when people's answers are so, so very different? In these days, so many stories disturb the peace. Disturbing stories raise huge questions, and perhaps one that is the biggest of all. What if there is no right answer? Audrey West writes in The Christian Century, and this is an extended quote, I've had many fine teachers over the years, but one of my all-time favorites was Dr. George, who taught diagnostics at my alma mater's veterinary school. I've often wondered whether Dr. George might have learned storytelling techniques from reading Jesus' parables. I was not a vet student, but I learned a lot from Dr. George's teaching methods. Believe it or not, there are similarities between the study of biblical Greek and the identification of pathogens for pigs, in the least, not least of which is a requirement for attention to detail. For the final exam, George would tell a story. The main character, a chicken, a horse, a family's beloved mutt, was suddenly stricken with, well, an undetermined illness. A long list of symptoms and the results of a couple of lab tests were followed by two questions. What is the cause of this animal's distress? And what is your treatment plan? That is, how do you interpret the data? And what does it mean? When papers were returned, most of the students received outstanding grades, although their answers differed. They demanded to know, what is the right answer? Dr. George refused to be pinned down. As long as you provided a diagnosis that made sense of the symptoms and a fitting rationale for your treatment plan, you received an A. Most students were unhappy with that response. They were determined to prove to the teacher and to each other that their response was the correct one. They'd meet during office hours and argue their rationales with reference to diagrams and diagnostic manuals and real-life experiences and fieldwork. With each conversation, the students encountered multiple possibilities, new understandings, and a push to expand their diagnostic capabilities. The final exam was doing its work. May it be so for the parables of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.